Hello, Mr. Miller. How are you, mate?
I'm all right.
What a fucking anticlimax that was.
No! Well, it was expected. We've got to say,
when it's the final day of the season, not really thinking Man City were going to get beat. They gave us the little glimmer of hope when Brighton scored for all of fucking 80, 90 seconds, whatever it was. And for them 80 or 90 seconds, I was like, no. Really?
Yeah, you've just got to say congratulations to the better team, haven't you?
You can't argue. Over the course of a season, whoever gets the most points deserves to be the top. So
the thing that's doing me in is we've got 97 points. We have took more points than any of the Manchester United Championship Premier League winning teams.
Yeah.
All these stats are coming out. The Invincibles of Arsenal, we got more points than them. We've obviously got more points than any of the greatest Liverpool teams that have ever walked the earth, and there's been plenty of them.
Yeah.
We've got more points than everybody on the planet, except Man City. And in two seasons, or next season, nobody will remember that.
Nobody will remember that next month.
Man City will be champions forevermore on this season, you know, in the history books, and it'll be a little footnote, runners up Liverpool, you know, and that's it. Is that our third time now runner up or fourth time runner up?
Third, I think, off the top of my head.
Third. In 29 years of Premier League football, 28 years. It's dog shit. It's dog shit, mate.
They big the fucking our main fella, said he. Shankly. Second is nowhere.
Exactly. What have I said about Liverpool for 10 years, 15 years? When Gerard Houllier took over in the late 90s, he basically was aiming for Champions League football. And I remember the year we did the treble, 2001. We got fourth place on the last day of the season. I want to say it was away at Charlton. We beat them, I think, 4-0, something like that.
I'll take your word for that.
And
my old Simon's ain't going to let me do that. Fucking working out.
I think it was something like that. And we celebrated more coming fourth than winning the treble. Do you know what I mean? And that was endemic in the football club. Whereas Ferguson was waking up at the first day, the way Liverpool used to be, first day of this new season, right, boys, come on, let's go, champions. Our mindset was, come on, let's get fourth.
Yeah.
And what I am happy about is we normally self-destruct when we've nearly won the league and we get 60-odd points the next season.
Yeah, we showed bottled. There was a couple of games at the end of the season where you could see the panic setting, and even against Wolves, they panicked for like half an hour. I think the crowd didn't help. The crowd were all, I mean, that false goal, the scoreline that came in before it actually was the Brighton goal. Everyone's going, what the fuck are those going on here? Even Carragher was saying on the commentary, I don't know why they're celebrating. Trust me, Man City Brighton haven't scored.
Well, so you were in the house. What was your routine yesterday? I woke up, I went to bed last night. The night before. It was like Christmas Eve. Thinking the next day we could be champions.
Yeah. No, I wasn't thinking about it the night before. But when I woke up about just after 6 o'clock. And I was lying there thinking, I've got no work, I've got no reason to get up. So I might go back to Bowie's and just my brain starts working over. And I lay there for about 15 minutes thinking, what if? What if this? What if that? And I just thought, I've got to get up.
Are you superstitious like me?
No.
So you don't have like, I mean, I've been touching wood for about 4 days.
My own.
I've been doing, you know, tempting fate, left, right and centre. I don't want to tempt fate. All this palaver. My stomach, my magic gut didn't work this time because my magic gut said, man, City were going to win the league. Maybe it doesn't work on league final. Maybe it only works on a match-to-match basis.
So I got up, made myself a cup of tea, and then not even 9 o'clock, it was about 9:15. I went out in the back garden and started pottering about because I've got a bit of a job going on at the moment. So
Potter.
Getting a bit of sipping up the old decking and putting new decking in. So I just started pottering around there, keeping myself occupied. My plans were, I totally forgot it was Sunday. So my plans was, I was going to potter around in there, watch the game, and then take all my scrap woods to tip, and then go and do food shop. Because that's how much I was, my head was battered. Oh, the shop doesn't open that late on a Sunday. Oh, yeah. Hello.
I was just drinking in the atmosphere, the ambience of your...
What are you drinking?
black coffee.
I want a Pepsi Max. I've got to go back to work.
I was... I went to church in the morning, lit a candle, said a few words to Shankly and their ghost silly.
I'm fucking gutted, boys. I was on that cloud. Me and Adam, Graham, we were there like that. We had three other ghosts behind one little wall, and we had another little ghost behind the other wall, and we were doing playing blind date with them. It was boss. And we totally forgot about the footy.
Ah, silly. It wasn't meant to be.
Fuck them. They're all cunts in Manchester.
Silly, you can't say that. The worthy champions.
No, they're not. They funded on blood money from the Middle East.
Bloody hell, Silla, that's quite topical, that.
They're getting investigated. You've got a points deduction next season and a transfer embargo.
It's easy for you to say, love. Go ahead, fuck off. Get back up in the sky.
Ta-da! See you next season, boys. Oh, no, I'll see you for the Champions League final. You forgot about that little nugget, didn't you?
Later, Silla.
Ta-da!
So I went to the Nana's, had a bit of brekkie, then we come home and I just couldn't stomach it. What happened there? Have you just climbed into a hole? A foxhole? A manhole? Are you straight, man?
What happened?
There was loads of weird noises. Like you just stuck your phone up your arse. And I walked to Aldi. I thought, I can't handle this. She wasn't going shopping. She was watching the footy. Even she didn't end up turning the footy on. I just walked to Aldi with my two shopping bags, mincing up the street. And as I walked into Aldi, Liverpool scored. So I give a little fist bump. I dared to believe. I thought, there you go, we're top of the league. And that's all I said to myself. So maybe I jinxed it. I shouldn't have said it. And then I was halfway down one of the aisles and Man City went a goal behind. And my legs went from under me. I had to hold onto my trolley. I had to steady myself on the pasta. I was like that, like a quiver. And before,
did you have to use the tenor pad aisle?
Yeah. And before I got to the end of the aisle, bollocks.
Yeah, I know.
We were eight.
That's it. They let us dream for about 90 seconds.
Pricks.
Oh, wankers.
I do believe Barry Glendenning on a Football Weekly, Guardian Football Podcast, Weekly Football. Teams do try harder against Liverpool and Man City. Look what's happened to Brighton manager today. That defeat has cost him his job.
Hmm.
He's gone. Do you know what I mean? We would be champions now if people set up their stall. Oh, Liverpool are in town. We're not going to get knocked out of this. We'll play a weakened team. We'll rest some of our big players, like teams constantly have done against Man United, and now they do against Man City. They do, and there's no denying that. That is a fact.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether you can go and have a look at the teams and see if big players from the lower clubs have been rested. I'm not doubting that. But I can't confirm it either. But I think the teams that go against Man City, they do try and win. I don't think they try and, they haven't said, we're going to let Man City win because we don't want Liverpool to win the league.
No,
I don't think that's happened.
No, it's not that.
No, I know what you're saying. The rest of the players, they've gone into the game already thinking, we're not going to get nothing out of this.
Yeah.
So rest our, well, you know, star players.
It might be Burnley or whoever. And there's no point. We've got Fulham next week. So that's a six-pointer for us. So we'll rest a couple of players. Now, and
the biggest thing that's come out of this season for me, how much the country is anti-Liverpool winning.
Oh,
and I don't understand it.
I don't get it. I don't. We aren't whiny bastards. You're the only. I mean, I've done a bit of whining about Man City, but the only team we generally give a flying fuck about is Liverpool. So you have seen all around the ground yesterday, Chelsea fans, and I'll be speaking to Colin later on Half and Half Scarves. Chelsea fans all singing about Steven Gerrard's slip.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday on the last day of the season, when they've had a dog shit season by their standards, they want their manager sacked. They're conveniently forgetting they're in the UEFA Cup final. And they conveniently forget that their legendary captain also slipped, but he slipped taking a penalty in the 2008 Champions League final and give the fucking title to Manchester United.
Yeah.
Wait, that's like fucking getting into the wrong bed and finding out you've just fucked your mother.
I can see the comparison.
Do you know what I mean? And it was the Wolves fans yesterday all singing about how we've blown it. The only bit of naivety we showed last season, and don't forget all season, people were saying, this Liverpool team hasn't hit form yet. This Liverpool's limping along. This Liverpool team's not a patch on last year's Liverpool team. We got about 24 points more than last year, but this wasn't a patch on last year's Liverpool team. The only naivety we had was how we set up against Man City, where we were going for the win. And that would have put us 10 points clear. If we'd have set up for the draw or just played our own game instead of taking defenders off and going for the attacks and all that, might have been a totally different story. At the start of the season, if I said to you, right, all right, Stuart, next season, Manchester United away, 0-0 draw, will you take it?
Yeah, you'd have took.
Yeah. You know, Everton away. Do you want to keep the Blue Shite's misery on for not beating us for another fucking 20 years? 0-0 draw at Goodison, will you take it?
No, I wouldn't have took that.
Oh, fucking.
You've got to always take the win against them.
You've gone too far there, not bad. But you get me point.
But the Man City, yeah, if they're the ones you're fighting against, you take a draw against them. You take a draw against your Cities, Uniteds, Chelsea's and Arsenal's to a lesser extent and Tottenham.
Yeah.
The likes of Everton, no disrespect to Everton fans, but they're a mid-table team who you'd expect Liverpool to beat.
Yeah, but it's still our derby, isn't it? You know,
but it's more important to them than us. Their whole season is based on their derby.
Yeah. Our derby isn't even Manchester United anymore. It is. It's still a massive game now, but they are in serious trouble now then. Manchester.
When Solskjaer took over, officially, he signed the contract, a few people on the trains, Richie Tierney being one of them, said he's going to put a bet on Solskjaer being sacked before next season.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, them results have turned, you know, he turned them round while he was caretaker and everyone was going, give him the job, he's amazing. And then he signed the dotted line and gone into free fall again.
Yeah. And you've got to look at his comparison. I mean, Mourinho got them second last year.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
What points difference with them to City? Let's have a look. They're on 66, City 98. So, yeah, 32 points behind.
That's 10 wins and 2 draws. It's like Tottenham 24 points, is it? 22 points behind Liverpool. So people keep going on about how this amazing Premier League is and the season and the points and all that. Fucking hell, mate. That difference is huge. That is vast. That is not a good. That is not a strong league. No. The Premier League is a weak league.
Chelsea were third, 25 points behind Liverpool.
25 points. Say that to yourself, Roman Abramovich. Say it to yourself, man.
It's a massive gap.
Massive gap. Chasm. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not going to tempt fate by saying we're going to win the European Cup. But at the moment, we've had a fantastic season and won nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So as you say, next month it'll all be forgotten.
We've got
Man City with the winners of this league, and that's it. End of story.
Yeah.
Now, individually, the players have done amazing.
Yeah.
When we've two of our players were Golden Boot, Salah and Mane, traded with Aubameyang.
Aubameyang.
Alisson got the Golden Glove because Doof for Face conceded, didn't he?
21 clean Emerson. Sheets.
Our two wingers, call them wingers, Arnold and Robertson, 12 and 11 assists. Hazard was the top with 15. What else did I put? Van Dijk, player of the season, and the PFA player of the year.
And this narrative that's been allowed to form of Raheem Sterling, right, after the season he's had, it's been a couple of Chelsea knobheads shouted racial abuse in his general direction. And do you know what I mean? After the season he's had, look what he's done. No, he's a world-class player who just happens to be black, who's probably had racial, and that's not saying it's right, but he's probably had racial abuse all his life. He was sold from Liverpool. Good luck to him. I haven't got any ill feelings to him or anything, but I can't get on. But you know, he's just, there doesn't have to be an agenda. He's just a world-class player now. He's the finished article. And I don't begrudge him going to Man City. He's doubled his money probably, and he's got two Premier League titles.
No, he left in bad circumstances because of the agent thing. His agents sort of forced through the thing. Liverpool offered him what he was asking, and then they upped the price. That actually, no, we want this, this, and this, just to make sure the move went through. That was the sticking point. That was why all the Liverpool fans rate him as a rat.
But the thing is, right, Liverpool fans, only, you know, the players who leave Liverpool are all rats. So Torres, Suarez, Coutinho, blah, blah, blah. But we go in and destroy other teams, and it's all right for them to do that.
I'm sure Southampton aren't happy with Liverpool. We've took, every time they have an half-decent player, Liverpool swoop in.
Yeah.
I think our squads must have about 7 or 8 ex-Southampton players.
We must have given them 300 million quid over the last few years. But that's all right. Do you know what I mean? They're not rats. All footballers are rats.
Yeah.
Every single one of them is a rat.
Yeah, and we call them greedy. But let's face it, if someone come to you and said, Craig, do you want to come and work for Northwestern and we'll double wage?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I'd be pulling that Man United top on tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't, because they're fucking pricks. But you know what I mean. I'd go
imminently.
You're having a poo.
It's normally a couple of days after the end of the season, isn't it? Manager of the year gets announced. Oh, come on. That's got to be Klopp, hasn't it? It's either Klopp or Nunes from Wolves.
Yeah, but how can you see past Guardiola? In two seasons, he's got 198 points.
Has he?
Yeah.
His team has. I know that, yeah, he's the manager of the team, but compared to what he's got and his achievements, compared to what Klopp's got and his achievements, I'd still tip Klopp.
I hope he does win and he deserves it. We've got to be in control of our own destiny now, and we've got to break this this cycle of losing in finals. You know, Klopp is undefeated in European football in knockout stages.
Just fucks up when we get to the final.
Two-legged affairs. You know, we'll go through, I think on the run-up to the European Cup final, we'll go through our European season this year and have a look at the results. Because we did lose quite a few games and we had a few dodgy results. But, here, you know, same as Tottenham, we'll have a look at Tottenham's as well. Both of them. And that makes a mockery of Champions League football. Two average teams are in the final. And obviously they're not average, but I'm talking about the group stages. They got through by the skin of the teeth. Tottenham only got through because other results went their way. You know what I mean? And they went to Barcelona, and Barcelona played the kids because they were already through and they got the result they needed.
Yeah, yeah. Forgot about that, yeah.
It's just little things like that. And they're talking about relaunching the Champions League again, a new format. Because don't forget, 10 years ago, you would get through the group stages into more group stages. Well, they're talking about, because the big clubs don't like getting knocked out of the Champions League.
Yeah.
Because they want to stay in it as long as possible. So I'm going to hazard a guess, right? I think the group stages are going to go up from four teams a group to either six teams a group or, dare I say, eight teams a group. I bet you. I bet you.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. You could bring more teams into the Champions League. You could have eight teams, and the first two go through, and the third place goes into the UEFA Cup or whatever, something like that. I bet you. And then you go straight into the last 16. So you'd have more teams qualifying, more money for the big clubs, more games, more exposure, more TV time.
Yeah, the sticking point's going to be more games, though, isn't it?
Oh, well, yeah. And it'll be at the expense of Premier League football and you know, country football, whatever it's called, league football. It'll have ramifications across the whole of Europe. They'll want to take two teams out of the Premier League. I bet you.
Does this go along with a par with the game you want to invent of, was it three-sided football you mentioned once?
Oh, yeah.
On a triangle pitch with three goals.
Imagine that. It'd be boss. And I'll match you the day tonight. We've got Liverpool versus Chelsea versus Man City. The score was Liverpool 3, Man City 4, Chelsea 1.
There's a future for it.
Well, we'd get 3 points because we beat Man City.
Look, you're planning it all again.
We'd get 3 points because we beat Chelsea. But Man City would get 6 points because they beat both of us.
Okay.
Oh, imagine.
So over the course of the season, yeah, have you got a game in mind that you think that's where we lost it, looking back over the entire season now?
Leicester. Leicester at home and West Ham away. I think they were two draws within the space of 4 days.
We had four draws in six games.
Yeah. The other two draws, I think, were Everton and Man United.
Yeah.
Them two, I'm prepared to accept them as draws because they are games that are bigger than the sum of their parts. You know,
but the Man United game, the actual game itself was there for the taking because if you remember, in the first half, all their players were dropping like flies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They went off injured left, right and centre.
It was like, oh my God, he's injured now as well. And then he's injured. It's like
Rashford played on through his injury, didn't he?
And yeah.
Couldn't go off. But I think the Leicester and the West Ham results, Leicester obviously sacked their manager, so they weren't happy and brought Brendan Rodgers in eventually. And West Ham, They've had a brilliant season when you consider the rioting that was going on there last season and, you know, the crowd pitch invasions and squaring up to the board and everyone getting shepherded out running for their lives like it was the Walking Dead. I think they finished 10th. I listened to Top Flight Time Machine this morning while I was doing a bit of housework and they went through the scores, but I wasn't even listening to the scores. I know there were some weird scores, but...
Well, I was going to... You've said the West Ham game. That was going to be mine. Because if you remember, it was 1-1.
Yeah.
And the last, like, 30 seconds of the game, Origi goes through, doesn't he? One-on-one with the keeper and shoots it straight at him.
Yeah. And they're the margins, aren't they? That's how... When it comes down to it, when two teams are going neck and neck like that for the season, it's them tiny margins. I'm not bitter. I'm disappointed. I'm elated that we've got so many points, but the Premier League's already reset to zero now. We're just waiting to see who comes up. Do you know what I mean? We're all on 0 points again now, ready to go again. It's finished. It's gone. You know, if this was Liverpool in the 70s and 80s, they're walking around with a cardboard box now, throwing out the medals on the opening day of the new season.
Yeah.
That's how insignificant it is. It's history. It's finished. Nothing we can do.
See, we're saying where Liverpool lost it. Man City could turn around and say it was only that close because they had instances as well. I'm going back to the Liverpool-Man City game where Mahrez missed the last-minute penalty.
Yeah, and then the Mane goal.
And the Mane goal.
That obviously it wasn't a goal, so I'm not crying it in because technology said it wasn't a goal. And I don't forget, I'm sure VAR is in next season.
It is, yeah.
And I can't wait. I can't wait for that to become part of our footballing culture.
I'm holding judgments on it. I want them to use it, but only for goal line technology. I don't want to be you for doing fucking throw-ins and all stuff like that.
Basically, every goal now in Champions League football gets looked at. So if you look at that Barcelona game the other day, when Wijnaldum scores his first goal, the goalkeeper holds onto the ball, right? And I was listening to the radio commentary as I was pedalling home, and they were going over everything. And I think it was Alan Shearer says, basically, that goal, they were looking for a red card incident. Now, if you go back and watch that goal,
yeah,
he pulls the ball off the goalie, and the goalie goes down holding his face like he's being hit.
Yeah.
So that was the red card incident. And
I remember that, actually, yeah. I remember the commentary on the telly saying they've just heard that they were looking at a red card incident.
And the commentators almost don't want to say stuff in case the VAR people might be listening or something. It's this weird situation now. But do you know what? There's too much at stake now in football. You know, we've lost the league basically on 12 millimetres or something. If you break it down to micro moments, you know, that goal didn't cross the line.
Yeah.
If it was just left up to the referee without goal line tech, he might have given the goal. You know what I mean? Like Chelsea, the Chelsea game, 2005.
Do you think there's talk at the moment as well that if Leeds come up, Mr. Milner might be torn away? He said he wants to finish his career at Leeds.
Yeah, good luck to him.
I still like... I wouldn't... What's the word? I don't mind him going. He's earned it. But I'd love to see another season out of him. I think we've still got another season or two out of him.
Look, well, what I'd be saying to him is, look, son. Hey, look, son. I've invoked Bill Shankly here. With you in the team, we will be champions. If you go to Leeds, you'll win fuck all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'll stay and kick on and try and get that league title. You know, eat, sleep, shit, piss the league title and then go to Leeds. Just give us one more season. We've had a crack of it. We've come very close. Watching him crying against Barcelona. You know,
yeah.
You've always had in you. You know, it was like Gary McAllister. He was Leeds and Coventry and he's in the end of his career and he comes into Liverpool and he's a Liverpool legend.
I've said it to you and anybody who will listen. Over the recent years, I think he's been one of our greatest signings, considering what we paid for him, nothing. His experience, his professionalism, he's someone the kids can look up to. I can imagine he's brilliant in the dressing room, his leadership skills,
yeah,
on and off the pitch. He's like the glue of the team. And I'm just guessing this, you know, I'm not privy to being in the changing rooms and not seeing it. He just comes across as that sort of character. And in my eyes, he's been our greatest signing, even above Salah. Maybe not Van Dijk or Alisson. Them two obviously are out there above and beyond, head and shoulders above the rest. But probably behind them two, I'd put Milner up there.
He's definitely played his part, definitely.
He's played in every position. When every time Moreno came on, everyone was holding their breath. When Milner went there as left back, freaking hell, looked like he's played there all his life.
I would have gone and got the Chelsea fella, the England man. Oh, what's his name? Oh, he can't get in the team.
Kyle.
Yeah. I would have gone and got him in January because he's another winner. He's a European Cup winner. He's a Premier League winner. And he would have just been covered on the bench. We were skating. If there was a bit, maybe it was the time of the draws or whatever, where Gomez was out. Lovren was a bit ropey. You know, just to have another world-class defender who's done it all in the dressing room, on the bench, just come to us and finish the season with us and see what happens. You know, that might have made... And maybe another striker. If we'd have got another striker in January, I haven't got a problem with Origi, but he's not a Liverpool player. He's still not a Liverpool. He's done great things. God love him. He might win, score the winner in the Champions League final. But him and Sturridge need to move on. Their bench is substantially greater than ours.
Yeah, I mean, see, I'm undecided about this as well. Where are you going to get a quality striker to come in knowing he's going to be a bench player?
Man City have.
Yeah, but Man City are paying them freaking $200,000 a week to do it.
Okay.
Liverpool won't do that.
They can't be far short.
Well, no. I think the ethos of Liverpool, they wouldn't do it.
I think they'd have to. Well, whoever...
To get the squad of Man City, yeah, you'd have to. It's when the Liverpool board are going to agree to do it.
We play every week to over 50,000. They can't even sell out their stadium. The money's there. Just pay the fucking money.
I mean, if anything, this season, pushing City to the last game of the season, it's going to attract players.
Of course it is.
These world-class players now, where Liverpool haven't had this pull for the past freaking 30 years now, to say, do you know what? I'm going to go to Liverpool. I'm going to be the difference. I'm going to get them the league title. I'm going to be the difference in that squad. And it's going to bring these world-class players now. They're going to want to play for us.
All Man City have got is money. They haven't got the history. They haven't got the romance. They haven't got the fan base. They haven't got anything. Man United are still a bigger team. I've got a lot of respect for Man United. I haven't got any respect for Chelsea, but I've got a lot of respect for Arsenal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
These teams that have just bought their way. I mean, Chelsea are basically up for sale. By all accounts. So, how are they going to cope when Abramovich isn't spending the money? He hasn't spent the money for years, but they've been doing illegal little dodgy stuff, and now they've got a transfer ban. Man United, richest club in the world, you can say. They've got him on $500,000 a week, Sanchez. He nearly went to Man City. He was that close to signing for Man City. If he'd have gone, he'd have blown their wage structure out the water and all their players would have gone knocking, saying, we want $500,000 a week as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's in their contracts now. The agents now have it in contracts saying that they've got their players got to be on a par with the highest paid player at the club. So if someone comes in and they say, right, you're on £600,000 a week, then Mr. A, B and C come knocking saying, oh, yeah, here's my contract, I've got to be on that as well.
Exactly. And that'll be at all the big clubs.
Yeah.
Harry Kane's got the biggest dick in that fucking pool. Do you know what I mean? At Tottenham and so on and so forth. But imagine if Liverpool went to Harry Kane and said, we're going to double your wages, come to us, and we're going to guarantee you, we're going to prolong your career because you're not going to be playing 50 games of football a season, but you're going to be playing 25 games of football a season. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you come? Harry Kane's the most overrated player in the world to me. All he scores with is his chin. Brucey, good game.
I remember his first season. Can't remember what game it was. We were at Anfield watching the game with your brother-in-law and your father-in-law. And you were talking about Harry Kane. You go, he's a one-hit wonder. He won't do nothing next season.
Yeah, he's shit. It's like that prick who plays for Man United.
I think he got about 24 goals the following season.
I mean, well, he did, yeah. But Rashford, right. That Man United, for Man United to get anywhere close challenging for the league title now, they've got to go and spend $2 billion. And that's not even being ridiculous.
Mm.
Honest to God, we're buying Van Dijk for 75 million. We're selling Coutinho for 140 million. These are the type of figures. They need 8 or 9 new players. And if they want all the best players in the world to come and play UEFA Cup football, then go ahead, lads.
Yeah.
They've got to pay top dollar. They've got to go, well, look, we can't give you Champions League football, but we can give you $500,000 a week.
Yeah. Do you think we'll keep hold of everyone? Do you think any of the big
European
clubs will come knocking?
No. I think they'll come knocking. And I think Mane is getting his head turned by Spain, I think it's Real Madrid are in for him. And to take him away from us, we might end up with Gareth Bale and 80 million, something like that. Honest to God, I do think if we can get through this summer transfer window with that team intact and a couple of new world-class signings, we'll be in a real strong position.
I mean, I feel sorry for Manny. I mean, he's adored by the team and adored by the fans and everything. But he seems to be second fiddle behind Salah all the time. I think you're forever hearing Salah's name and his song being chanted, and Manny's is very rarely chanted. And I feel sorry for him because I think he works hard in Salah half the time.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's and he's been there longer, and he's up there now. 22 goals, same goals as him. Fantastic return.
That's how stinky feels as though he's in Salah's shadow, and I think that might enforce his move.
Don't have any naivety that Mohamed Salah's going to be there next season. If Real, just because Real Madrid dislocated his shoulder last Champions League final, if they come in and offer 150 million and doubling his wages, he's the Prince of Egypt. He's the King of Egypt. He's the face of Egypt. He gets more votes in elections than the MPs do. So
as much as we all like to think that everyone in our squad wants to play for Liverpool, if the right money, the right numbers are mentioned, every one of them will be off.
Yeah, they will. There's nothing we can do about that.
Even Trent, Scouser, young Scouser lad, he'll be off.
I don't know about that.
No, if it's big European, big Real Madrid, Barcelona come knocking.
Well, maybe. Did you see his ma and dad on the pitch yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, ma, stop making a show of me. Oh, God, love
that was nice at the Barcelona game when he did the lap of honour on his own, didn't he?
Yeah. He deserves it. What a season. But there's no competitions this summer. They're all going to get a little bit of a rest. Obviously, we're going to America on one of our tours. But there's no, World Cup or European Championships to bother them.
Bring on next year.
I'm excited. No, I didn't say I'm Alexa. Shut up. Should we wind it up? Okay, so we are going to record. We'll do a European one before, and we'll keep doing shows throughout the summer where we talk about any signings and that, but we'll carry on with our seasons gone by. predictions for next season?
Leeds to win the title.
Leeds won't even get
with
up.
Milner.
Aston Villa will come up.
Leeds are winning 1-0, aren't they, first leg?
Yeah, Aston Villa will win that. Leeds-Aston Villa will be a boss final. I love that game of footy. I love all them playoffs. Look at Tranmere. Tranmere were non-league last year. Won in their playoff final, and now they're in the playoffs again.
I think they're a goal up as well, aren't they, Tranmere?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You need to take Matthew to see Liverpool Ladies at Tranmere.
Why?
Because they're stunning. And it's Liverpool. You can get in a season ticket, £30.
I fucking can't even get him to watch Liverpool, never mind Liverpool Ladies. Well, he's got a friggin' Xbox in this house. Marcy, you coming to watch the footy?
You'll be in a minute.
20 minutes later,
I'm just finishing this game.
I've bought, I can't remember what it's called, but half and half scarves. did a promotion on it the other day, a board game.
Oh, I saw your link, yeah.
Yeah, I bought it. It's a 90-minute two-player game where you play a game of footy.
I've been knackered. Literally go on the front garden and have a game of footy?
No, no, it's board game. On the kitchen table. It's rolling dice and all that, and all your players have got attribute cards. Attribute. Fucking hell.
Attributes.
Hey! Easy for you to say, Nobed.
How are you going to find a spare 90 minutes with the 25 podcasts you do?
We can... It'd be good to try and do... I don't know how you could work it. A podcast game where me and you, we've got the board set up and we're playing against half and half scarves. We battle them. Fucking Southern Jessies.
Look, you're planning another podcast. Alexa, play You'll Never Walk Alone.
Oh, stop it.
You'll Never Walk Alone by Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Go ahead, Jerry. Take it away.
She was charmed.
Hold her
hand.
You're a pick up with us. Why are you saying that? Don't, because we're going to win. Don't say that. Oh, I've shot the ball. Oh, referee. Blow the whistle.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.